Good morning, Dayspring family. It is a pleasure and joy to be sharing the word of God with you all this morning. My hope and prayer is that God will speak to you and that will be this word will be an encouragement in your lives. Last week, Eric began his sermon with a question. The question was, how long was it since you experienced God's faith? God's amazement in your faith. When he asked the question, my mind immediately went back to year 2018. 2018 was a year of God's amazing work in my life. I saw God working, I saw God confirming his presence with me and his plans and his promises to me. I had always wanted to go back to school. I had been serving my church for almost six years, but I was getting aware that I need to be trained for ministry so that I can do what I love and what I'm passionate about in a better way. So I prayed for an opportunity. And at the same time, I applied to different schools and Truett happened to be one of them. I got accepted at Truett and I got a good scholarship and God answered my prayer. But I wasn't sure that I was coming because there was another step to make. I needed to apply for a visa to come to the US. Now, for those of you who don't know, getting a US visa as a young, single person from Africa is never an easy thing. Even when you have good reasons, you're coming to the US, they never believe that you will go back. So it's a very tough process. But I had faith and I prayed and asked my family and friends to pray with me. And God answered my prayer. I got the visa to come to the US. On top of that, I was connected to Dayspring. I came to hear about Dayspring before I even came to Echo. And I was in touch with people at Dayspring. They were helping me with the whole process. And it was an easy process, easier than I thought. Then I said, God is truly with me in this process. God is working. And each and every event, everything that happened in my life at that time confirmed God's work in my life. After I got my visa a few months, I moved to Echo. When I got here, it was just amazing. I remember the first 2 weeks, I was given a tour of Echo. I went to HEB, I went to the farmer's market, I went to Walmart, I went to Truett, and it was just great and amazing. I was so amazed by God's work in my life. It wasn't until school started though. The first week of school was different. It was different from what I have imagined seminary to be. I had built this mental image of seminary that was not very true, that was not real. I thought seminary to be a place where I would go and read my Bible every day and discuss with people, ask questions, get answers, grow in my faith, and just be refreshed. I'm not saying that I don't get that at Truett. I really do get refreshed and ask questions, but it was not the way I imagined. I never envisioned reading, I don't know how many books every day. I never envisioned writing papers. I never thought about being anxious every morning as I got to school with unfinished assignments sometimes. I had imagined an easy and smooth road, but this was different. That first week, I piled up all the books, I took a picture, and I sent it to my family. And I told them, guys, it's not as easy as we imagined. It's really tough, it's so hard. I also remember going to the chapel at Truett and I sat in the chapel. I stared at the image of Jesus on the stained window and I said, Jesus, this is so hard for me. I need your help. I need you to help me. I need you to help me go through this. I was doubting, I was discouraged. I felt so defeated and I was not sure that I was going to make it. The Gospel of Mark depicts the disciples' journey as they went getting to understand who Jesus is. They were amazed by his authority as he taught with authority and preached with authority to the crowd. They were so amazed. They wondered who he was. And they wondered where he got the authority to cleanse the people, to heal people, to chase out evil spirits, to even to still the storms and the sea. They kept asking themselves, who is this person? Who is he? Where does he get his authority? The disciples were asking themselves the questions. The people who witnessed God's miracles, they were asking themselves the same question over and over again. But in chapter 8, we see Peter confessing that Jesus is the Messiah. It seems to the reader that now the disciples get it. Now they understand who Jesus is. He is the Messiah, the promised Messiah. And in my imagination, they were so amazed. They were so happy. They were delighted to see that the Messiah has finally come. But it wasn't until Jesus brought the news to them that he's going to die, to be rejected by the scribes and the chief priests, and to be killed and to rise again. This was not the kind of the Messiah they expected. They had a different image of the Messiah. The Messiah was going to be the one who would come and save them from the Roman oppression. The Messiah was the one who was going to restore Israel and establish Israel again, to restore the political power, to make Israel great again. That was the Messiah they expected. Now Jesus is telling them that he's going to die. All their hope was dashed. And on top of that, he tells them, if you are to become my disciples, you are going to suffer as well. You are going to follow me, even suffering and dying. This was a very hard message for them to hear. I imagine that maybe they were disappointed to know that this is the kind of the Messiah they have always waited for. But they didn't understand what Jesus was saying or what he meant by that. Because we see later in chapter 10, where John and James come to him and they're asking favors. They're asking him if they can sit one on his right, the other one on his left, which shows how they had this image of becoming great again and having high positions as they were close friends or fellows of Jesus. Then that's when Jesus takes them on a high mountain. They needed to understand something. They needed to understand what kind of Messiah that is in the midst of them. James, Peter, and John, they followed Jesus up on the mountain. When they go there, Jesus was transfigured. Moses and Elijah appeared with him, talking to him. And as they were there witnessing all those events, they were so astonished and so terrified that they didn't know what to do. Mark says that Peter said those words of building three tents just because he didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to do. He was so terrified, like everybody else, like all the disciples who were there. Then a cloud appeared. They came a cloud, and there was a voice from the cloud that said, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." I think there is no coincidence that these events are similar to the events on Mount Sinai. I also think for a Jew in Jesus' time, this was a vivid reminder of when God spoke to the people of Israel at Mount Sinai, which was a very terrifying experience for them. But I wonder if the disciples asked themselves what God was communicating to them through the event. Maybe they could have seen that God is still working in Jesus, even though they can't see the ways God is working. Maybe they could have thought about Moses' radiant face and see that God is still doing the same with Jesus. Maybe they could have thought about the cloud and the voice from the cloud that gave a commandment and see that God is giving them a new commandment to listen to Jesus and follow his lead instead of challenging him, instead of challenging his authority. Earlier in chapter 8, Peter calls Jesus aside and he rebukes him and he I imagine he told him to stop saying the things he was saying. But all of this shows how the disciples were failing to see what Jesus, to understand what Jesus is telling them, and to obey him and to follow him as he fulfills God's plan for them. It was a very hard thing for them to understand. It was very hard for them to let Jesus be their leader. Then God does this event. God does this great thing, terrifying thing, as a way of confirming to the disciples that he's still working. The same way he walked through Moses, the same way he walked through Elijah, he's still working even at that very moment, though they cannot understand, then though they cannot see it. Now he was calling them to listen to Jesus, to obey him, and to let God's plans be fulfilled in their lives. Back to my story when I came to Truett, as I said, it was really hard for me. It's different from what I expected. I didn't know that I would be in seminary and still have questions. In fact, I didn't know that more questions would be raised. That's what happened. I came with questions, but I even got to ask myself some more questions. At some point, I had to wrestle with some aspects of my faith, things I grew up hearing and believing without understanding them, or having a biblical, strong biblical basis. Then at seminary, I was challenged to measure everything, every aspect of my faith against the Bible. It was rough and tough, but I can confidently say that God has been working in my life. The different ways I saw God's confirmation of his work in my life. I saw how God grows my faith even when I don't understand. I came to understand that faith is not about having all the answers. Faith is holding on the truth you know, even when there are things you don't understand yet. I came to learn that I can trust God in every detail of my life, where even when it comes to writing a paper, I can whisper a small prayer and say, God, come and help me find words to express my thoughts. I came to learn how important friendships are for a minister. That you cannot just be busy and be consumed by your work and just focus on the grades. You also have to focus on people. You also have to get time for people, for those who care, for those you care about. And that's a lesson I learned at seminary. Also, some of my questions were answered. It's not like I live in a place of questions. I also got some of my questions answered, and all those are ways that I saw God working, but it's different from what I expected. I couldn't see God's work until I listened to Jesus telling me, just pay attention to the things I'm doing. Don't focus on how you imagined seminary to be. Don't be stuck on the image you had built up for yourself of seminary, but listen and pay attention to what I'm doing. Friends, we are living in times that we never expected. No one has ever expected that we are going to be in this situation of the pandemic that we are in for this long. We've never thought about going to bed thinking that we go to church for service, then in the morning we realize we can't go back to church, we can't meet together. We've never imagined spending months and months without being able to hug our grandchildren, our grandma, or our family members, just because we are scared of getting the virus. We've never imagined the political unrest, the racial tensions, the weather changing suddenly, and we've never imagined so many things that are happening in the world, even outside the US today. Some churches in Africa, they have never been able to meet for a year, and they can't even meet online. They don't have that luxury. But this happened, and no one saw it coming. The question we can ask ourselves is God still working? Is God still working to fulfill his plans in the world and in our personal lives? Is he still moving forward for the fruition of what he has intended from the beginning? Is he still working to save the world, to save humanity, to save our lives, to save us? Is this Is he able to do that, or he's stuck at, like everybody is stuck? And if he's still working today, what are some of the ways he's confirming his work among us today? What are some of the ways he's confirming his presence? Are there things that happen in our lives and we fail to see that it's God speaking to us to confirm that he's still present and he's still working? Last night, I was having conversation with my roommates as we talked about how we saw God working in our lives and the world through this pandemic. And it was a great conversation. Some of us saw God working through his provision, provision of a new home, provision of a new job, or even bringing people in our lives who would care for us and share their resources and be a source of encouragement to us. Some of us saw God working when they were with a friend who is grieving his loss, but he can still hold on his faith and joy even during the time of grieving. Some of us saw God working, like in my personal life, I saw God working in Africa, where he uses this pandemic to call the leaders in the church to reconsider their leadership styles, to reconsider their teachings, to consider the doctrine that they have been feeding their congregations. All those are ways God is working. And I'm sure there are more and more ways that we can see if we just open our eyes, if we just pay attention to God's work in the world and in our lives. The question today is, can we still see God working? Can we still be confident that God is working? Right now, we all start having hope. There is a ray of hope that as we see the vaccine coming, as we see the new leadership, the new president. But I kept wondering, what if things get worse? I'm not predicting anything. I'm not saying that they will get worse. But I wonder if, even if the things turn out in different ways than we expected, I wonder if we still be confident of God's continued work in the world and in our lives. And if God is still working, could he be speaking to us, telling us to listen to him and to follow his agenda instead of sticking on our own agenda? Could he be calling us to join him in his work in the world? If God is still working, I believe he's still also speaking. And he's still speaking to me, and he's still speaking to you. My prayer this morning is that can open our eyes to his work in the world, and that he can open our ears to his voice. Amen.